We have you take your Bibles this evening, if you would, and open to 1 Corinthians 11. It's been said that there are two dangers we face whenever we come to the Lord's table, as we're going to do here in just a few minutes. The first danger is that we will feel that we are not worthy to be here, and so avoid participating. And the second danger is that we will feel that we are worthy. And so I guess the question is, you know, where does that leave us? What I want us to do tonight is briefly consider what the Bible has to say about this matter of worthiness or unworthiness when it comes to our participation in the Lord's Supper. What should or what shouldn't our mindset be? And so I've directed us here to 1 Corinthians 11, probably the central passage in the Word of God that we have regarding instructions for us as a church as we observe the Lord's table together. And these are, of course, familiar words. And each time we observe the Lord's table, I read a good portion of the Scripture we're going to look at this evening each time we come together for communion. But tonight I want to begin reading in verse 23, where we often begin. So you take a look there, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." In other words, he's saying, here's what the Lord Himself directed me to share with you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, "Take, eat, this is My body. This bread represents My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." Verse 25, "And after the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me.'" Let me just pause there for a minute. But that passage, what we've read so far, makes a couple of things clear to us. First, it makes clear that the point of this observance, we call it an ordinance, something that God has commanded us as God's people, as a church, to observe. But the point of this ordinance is that it's to be a time of remembering. Time of memorializing the Lord's sacrifice. And the second thing that it makes clear is that the bread and cup are to serve as visual reminders to us, as object lessons, if you will. As Jesus, just as He did with His disciples, He said, "Here's this bread. This is a reminder to you that My body will be broken for you." He said to His disciples, "Here, drink this cup. This is a reminder to you that My blood will be shed." And that was His purpose. You know, when He Himself really instituted this observance with His disciples during that last Passover, and that's the purpose that it holds for us as well. A time of remembrance where the body and the blood symbolize, they remind us of Christ's sacrifice. All right, let's go on here, verse 26. He says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show." That word that's translated show means proclaim, announce, make known. In fact, it appears, I think, 17 times in the New Testament, and 10 of those times it gets translated preach. Okay, so he says, in essence, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do preach the Lord's death till He come." It's just a public, collective, corporate testimony of what the Lord has done for us. And that brings us to verse 27, which is where we're going to encounter a word that uses the word unworthily. We'll see it again two verses later. And it's the same English word, it's the same Greek word. And these are the only two times that we find this particular word in the New Testament. So you watch here, verse 27, he says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you," physical infirmities, "and many sleep," that's speaking of physical death. "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another." So those verses there, verses 27 and following, that's really the heart of it, is that Paul, under inspiration, is telling us to be careful when we come together for the Lord's table, to be careful that we don't eat and drink unworthily. So I've entitled this devotional message tonight, Worthily Unworthy. Okay, Worthily Unworthy. I'll explain what I mean by that in a little bit. But the portion of the text that we're going to be focusing on is verses 27 through 30. So let's just pause here for a moment for prayer. Our Father, this is a sobering night for us each time as we come together to observe the Lord's table. And Lord, while it's a serious time, it's also an uplifting time because it reminds us that Jesus is our Savior. It reminds us of the penalty of sin. It also reminds us that Jesus paid that penalty so that we might be forgiven and so that we might have life. And Father, I pray that you would use these thoughts that we will spend some time with this evening, this passage of Scripture, to just help us understand better the mindset we ought have as we approach the table, how we ought best prepare our hearts, lest any of us should eat and drink unworthily and fall under that very severe statement, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, even drinketh damnation to himself. So, Father, these are some sobering thoughts and yet not something that ought scare us. And so I just pray that you would give me clarity in sharing the force of what you're saying here. And Father, might your Spirit use your word to encourage us, to challenge us, to help us in our walk with you, and to help us draw nearer to you as we observe your table tonight. So we commit this time to you, ask your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I began tonight by just pointing to some kind of polarizing or opposite end of the spectrum mindsets that we might encounter as we prepare for the Lord's table. On the one hand, it's possible that some might feel that they are not worthy to be here, not worthy to partake, not worthy to have a time to participate in this time of communion, in this time of fellowship with other believers, you know, and with the Lord, as together we remember His death. And maybe that's where you find yourself tonight. You know, maybe you felt that way in previous gatherings. You come in and you're burdened with guilt, with a sense maybe of spiritual failure. Maybe you've been losing the battle with a besetting sin, and your conclusion is, you know what, I'm just not worthy. Maybe you had an angry outburst towards someone, and you've not gotten that right yet. Maybe you've done something you're ashamed of. Maybe there's something that goes back for years that you've just been carrying around with you, and try as you might, it continues to haunt you, even though you've tried to take care of it with the Lord maybe even dozens of times. Maybe it's something altogether different. But perhaps you're here tonight thinking that it would be inappropriate for you to share in this occasion with others because you think, I'm not worthy. Maybe you look around at others and you say, well, it seems like everybody else maybe is, but I'm just not worthy. Folks, let me just begin by saying this. None of us are worthy. Okay? We are not worthy of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. We all fall short of God's glory. We all come to God simply because of His grace and on the merits of Jesus and Jesus alone. We are not worthy. In fact, we are unworthy. So you say, well, but in the Bible here, it talks about eating and drinking worthily or unworthily. So what is it that God expects of us? You know, what's He talking about when He tells us to examine ourselves? When He talks about unworthiness, what does God require of us before we can partake of the Lord's Supper? You know, we might think, well, maybe He wants us to promise that, you know, yes, I have some sin issues, but I'm going to try to do better this next time around. You know, does He want us to promise that next time we're going to just try harder and we're going to commit ourselves more? Is that what God wants from us? Does He want us to take some overt step to show our resolve that, you know what, as I partake of the Lord's table tonight, this is going to be a turning point and things are going to get better? for the answer to that, I would point us to the Psalms. David, who's the writer of so many of the Psalms, he tells us the kind of thing that God is looking for in Psalm 51. Those of you familiar with the Psalms, you know that's a psalm where David was dealing with the sin in his life. And in verses 16 and 17, he says this. He says to God, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." Now we understand that in the day that David lived, they were to offer sacrifices. They were to present their burnt offerings. But David realized that, you know, offering more sacrifices, presenting more burnt offerings, that isn't the heart of the matter. That's not what God is ultimately looking for. Because he says, if I could do that, if it could be that easy, you know what? I would just come with sacrifice after sacrifice. But he says, you know, God, I realize that's not the point. That's not what you're looking for. You know, and sometimes we get into that way of thinking, well, God, I'll do this. We bargain with Him and we make our promises and we make our commitments. But you know what? That's not ultimately what God is looking for. Yes, it's good to be resolved that by God's grace we want to live for Him and we want to grow and we want to advance in our Christian experience. Those are not wrong things, but that's not the heart of the issue. And David realizes that. It's not about more sacrifices. It's not about more offerings. And in verse 17 of Psalm 51, he says this, "The sacrifices of God." In other words, the sacrifices that God is looking for are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, that's what Thou wilt not despise. God is not looking for more sacrifices and burnt offerings. He's not looking for us to try to do more, to try to compensate, to try harder, to offer a better attempt. What He wants from us is that we would have a broken and a contrite heart. As we acknowledge the sin in our lives, that we would be broken about it. That is something, David says, that he'll never despise. David says something similar in Psalm 34, verse 18. He says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Now, David in these two verses talks about a broken spirit and a contrite heart in Psalm 51, and a broken heart and a contrite spirit in Psalm 34. And his point isn't to say that God is looking for people who are despairing and who are demoralized in their Christian experience. That's the point. That's not the point. He's not saying you've just got to be, you know, the lowest of the low and just kind of this sorrowful, moanful thing. But it does mean there's got to be just complete and utter humility. Where we realize that, you know what, we are sinners before a holy God. And as we gather together and we observe the Lord's table, you know, it reminds us of many things. And one of the things that it reminds us of is that we are sinners. And there is a great cost, there is a great penalty for sin. And that penalty was the Lord Jesus Himself, the sinless Son of God, going to the cross, suffering at the hands of sinful men, becoming sin for us, becoming the propitiation for our sin, receiving God's wrath poured out upon Him because I am a sinner and because you are a sinner. And that ought be something that is heartbreaking to us, that helps us to realize, you know, the severity, the burden of sin. But at the same time, God's point isn't to just drive us to the dirt with that thought, but it is to sober us, but then to cause us to rejoice in the love of God, in the love of Christ, that He did that, that He went to the cross, that He willingly offered His body to be broken, that He willingly poured out His blood, shed for us for the remission of sins, so that we can enter into a new relationship with God and be forgiven and receive eternal life and rise again even as He rose the third day. So this time of the Lord's table is just the whole gamut of things that we ought to remember and reflect upon. When it comes to our sin, we ought to be broken about it. We ought to be contrite about it. We ought to be utterly humbled before God. And as we come to the Lord's Supper tonight, folks, we need to remember that we're sinners who have forgiveness because Jesus went to the cross. You know, we're needy. We are unworthy. And yet God still loves us. And Jesus gave Himself for us. It's kind of well said in the words of the old hymn by Joseph Hart. He was an 18th century British preacher and hymn writer. And of the many hymns that we sometimes sing, this is one that always touches my heart. starts this way, "Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus waiting stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power." And the refrain says this, "I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms." And here's the last stanza. You know, and I love this stanza, and I think it kind of relates to what we're talking about tonight. He says, "Let not conscience bid you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness He requireth is to feel your need of Him." You know, folks, I think there are sadly people who don't come to Christ because they feel like they've got to clean up their act first. And here, Hart says, you know, don't let that part of your conscience hinder you. Yes, we ought to have a sensitive conscience. Yes, we ought to realize that we are sinners, but let's also realize that it is not within us to fix things, to make things right. We come to Christ in our need. We don't come to Christ because we're worthy. And folks, we don't come to His table because we're worthy either. Just as we are unworthy in salvation, we are unworthy before Him even tonight. We're not worthy, and nothing we could do would ever make us worthy. But we come to Him both for salvation. We come to Him in remembering His sacrifice in the Lord's table because He is worthy. We come because of the imputed righteousness of Christ. We come because God justifies the ungodly. And so, folks, it is a grand and glorious privilege for everyone who has trusted Christ as Savior to participate in His table. You know, the cautions, the words that are there in 1 Corinthians 11 aren't intended to drive us away. They aren't intended to discourage us from participating. Rather, they are there to draw us in, to help us realize what a glorious thing it is, what Jesus has done. And yeah, we ought to examine ourselves. And yes, as God burdens us about our sin, we ought confess it. We ought deal with it. But He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we come to Him realizing that we're poor and needy and we are unworthy, but He is eminently worthy. And that's the basis upon which we come. So as we come to the Lord's table tonight, let's remember the closing words of that last stanza. All the fitness He requireth is to feel your need of Him. If you feel your need of Him, if you trust wholly in Jesus alone, then you can come and He will not turn you away. Now, just to be clear, I'm not saying that your sins don't matter, right? Our sin does matter. That's why Jesus went to the cross. I'm not trying to say that our sins aren't important. They matter so much that Jesus died for them, and that's what the Lord's Supper is all about, reminding us of that. And so as we have some quiet time to reflect here in a few minutes, as God brings things to mind, we should confess to Him. We should be honest before Him, but we shouldn't let it keep us from coming to the table. Now, it's possible that maybe there's someone here tonight and you've never come to Christ for salvation. For you, the issue isn't about coming to the Lord's table, because you know what? Participating in this observant doesn't save you. It doesn't contribute to your salvation. It doesn't make you saved. It doesn't keep you saved. It's something that believing people do to remember what Christ has done for them and what they have already trusted in. But you know, the invitation is the same. If you're here tonight and you're unsure that your sins have been forgiven, you're unsure that you have the promise, the gift of eternal life, you come the same way. Poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore, bringing nothing, offering nothing other than your need and crying out to Christ and saying, "Forgive me, receive me as your child," and He will. Here in a few minutes, we'll have an invitation time. And if you are uncertain about your relationship with God, that's a time to come and ask for help. And we'd love to have someone show you how you can be sure your sins are forgiven, how you can make the sacrifice of Christ real for you, how His blood can cleanse your sin, how His righteousness can be made yours. There's no one here that's worthy enough tonight. But we still have to come back to that question, and we'll finish up here in just a few minutes. What's Paul talking about then when he speaks of eating and drinking unworthily? Verse 27, he says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Verse 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So there's that word in there about unworthiness. And you say, "Pastor, if you say we're unworthy, okay, I agree with that. But it says here that if we eat and drink unworthily, you know, that there's severe consequences that come." Let's talk about that word unworthily for just a minute. The root of the word is the idea of worth. It has a little prefix that means without worth, but it is an adverb. Okay, it's not describing the person who comes. It's an adverb describing the manner in which they come to the table. Okay, we are all unworthy. You know, none of us are worthy of salvation. None of us are worthy even of participating in the Lord's table because we are sinners. But even as unworthy people, we can come worthily. We can come in a manner that is appropriate for God's people to come. But those that come unworthily, they deal with a second problem. They may become feeling that they are worthy. They come experiencing the sin of presumption. The sin of presumption happens whenever you take something that is important and treat it as if it were unimportant, or you take it for granted, or you just kind of figure, no big deal. It's when you take something that's high and holy and sacred and treat it as if it's casual and of no account. It's when you take something which ought to have your full attention and you treat it as if it were just routine business of the day. It's what happens when you come to church on a Sunday and you see the elements on the table down here in front of us and you think, ho-hum, it's just the Lord's Supper again. Folks, that's presumptuous. And that is eating and drinking unworthily. Now, I've encouraged us to examine ourselves as we prepare for the table and to confess whatever sin God brings to mind. But really, the idea of eating and drinking unworthily isn't saying that before you come to communion, you've got to clean yourself up. Paul is not saying be careful to make sure all your sins are confessed. Frankly, that's something we should be doing day by day by day as just part of being a Christian. You know, and yes, it's a valuable thing maybe for us to on this occasion take special note, but that's really not the heart of it. That's not what the unworthily is about. Because frankly, folks, we could never clean ourselves up enough. We could never confess all of our sins. We could never deal with everything. We could try, but we can't. We're not even worthy to do that. But we can come in a worthy manner. In a manner that acknowledges what Christ has done for us. We can come to the Lord's table seriously. We can come moved in our spirit with thankfulness and contrition because Jesus has paid for our sin. He went to the cross out of love for you and me. And folks, we come to the Lord's table on the basis, frankly, of His grace, just like the way that we're saved. It's the grace of God. You either come by the grace of God or you don't come at all. In ourselves, we are unworthy, and by ourselves, we are unworthy. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves worthy of salvation or worthy of this observance. But Jesus has already done it. He's already died. He's already risen from the dead. And when you put your trust in Him, He declares you worthy. He says you're righteous. You're justified in the sight of God, and you are free to come to this table. So what was Paul so concerned about that he gave these sobering warnings? And by the way, did so under inspiration. Well, he was concerned with those who were taking it lightly. Those who came for food and drink rather than to remember. In Corinth in the first century, they had a problem. There were people coming to the Lord's Supper and they were getting drunk. They were drinking the wine to excess. They were gorging themselves on the food. Now, folks, those particular things really couldn't happen here because we don't use wine. We use grape juice, and we only use about an ounce. And we don't use a full meal. We use a little unleavened cracker because we understand that the point isn't ultimately the meal. The point is the symbols of our remembrance. But yet, folks, we can still be guilty of that unworthiness, that danger when we take it lightly. when we think it's no big deal. When we just go through the motions and we don't engage our heart. When we're here out of duty or out of ritual rather than being here because this is a wonderful time to remember the Lord's death until He comes. And so we can be guilty of the frivolous observance of the Lord's Day. We can be guilty of taking it lightly. We can be guilty. You know, the Corinthians, some of them were pushing and shoving to get more food. You know, and we look at that and we think, tisk, tisk, how could they be so obtuse about it? But the fact is, folks, there are many of us who come to the Lord's table no more focused on what it is than those first century Corinthian believers. And that's a dangerous thing. Paul says that. You know, to think this is no big deal. Just some crackers and some juice. That's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing to come thinking that you are worthy. That's why I entitled this message, Worthily Unworthy. We are, folks, unworthy. But we can come worthily, in a worthy manner. In Luke 18, Jesus told a story about two men who went to the temple to pray. One of them was a Pharisee. He'd probably feel right at home in our church because he was a very religious person. And he would like to be around other people who take their faith seriously. We might even like him. We'd probably be comfortable with him. But you know, in his heart there was a problem. He came into the temple. The Bible says he stood up and looked up into heaven and he said, Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like these other people. I thank you that I'm not a robber, I'm not a crook, I'm not a murderer, I'm not an adulterer, I'm not like these other people. In fact, I'm not even like this publican, right? He's kind of thinking, Lord, you're lucky to have me. I fast twice a week. I tithe out of all my income. That's the kind of thing was the essence of his prayer. Then Jesus said there was another man who came and he stood afar off. That man wouldn't even lift up his head to heaven. He just beat on his chest and he cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus asks his audience the question. He says, which one do you think went home justified? Well, it wasn't the religious man wrapped in his own cloak of self-righteousness, but the publican, that sinner, that man who was an outcast who clung to the mercy of God. He went home justified, set free, and forgiven. Now, folks, I understand that Jesus told that story not for the purpose of talking about the Lord's Supper, but the idea is instructive for us. As we come to the Lord's table tonight, we should come not as the Pharisee, not as someone who thinks, you know what, I'm doing pretty well, you know, God ought to be glad to have me, but rather as the publican who says, I'm unworthy. You know, I don't deserve any of all that God has given, but praise God, He's given it. You know, and we are justified. And we have new life, and our sins are forgiven. And thankfully, as God brings to mind those sins, I can confess them, and I can know He'll forgive them. You know, as quickly as they can come to my mind, and I can ask His forgiveness, He forgives. He forgave us from the cross. And so we come tonight really to celebrate all that we have in Christ. And we need to come worthily. But we come as unworthy sinners. You know, the Bible refers to God as the God of grace. And it refers to His throne as the throne of grace. And though the Scripture doesn't say this, I would suggest that we could refer to the Lord's table as the table of grace. Because as we gather together here, we are reminded of the grace of God that bringeth salvation. The grace of God that we who have trusted in Him have experienced. And tonight we remember that, you know what? He gave His life on the cross. His body was broken for our sins. His blood was shed so that we might be cleansed. He paid the penalty for our sins. He became sin for us. You know, He gave Himself so that we could be reconciled to God. So that we can be forgiven and have new life in Him. And none of it is about our worthiness. So folks, let's be worthily unworthy as we approach the Lord's table tonight. I'll take a moment and do as I do month by month and remind us of the significance of the Lord's table. But before I do that, let me ask you to do something that we did a couple of months ago. And some of you maybe were uncomfortable with this, but those that chose to talk to me were really comfortable with it, and they felt like it was helpful. So I'm going to ask us to do this again. I'm going to ask everybody to move forward. Okay? And you leave the front row, the very front row, empty. That'll be where the deacons will come as they prepare for the table. But let's fill in, starting with the second row, and let's kind of sit almost shoulder to shoulder, fill up the rows and come forward. And maybe there's a few more on this side. Maybe some of you would be so bold as to switch to the other side. But let's have some fellowship together.